Howdy, folks, and welcome to the Snowy's Camping Show with Ben and Lauren, my friend, Ben.
We've just had a moment.
You always say colleague, and I'm just like, but we're friends.
Oh, I thought you were saying friend because we just had a small,
argument
over the positioning of our timer in the studio here because you want it to be central and symmetrical, and I just...
Doesn't matter. We're moving on from that. Now... Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening to your podcast. Also jump onto Facebook to join into our Snowy's Camping group. I think it's now called Snowy's Camping Banter.
Camping Banter.
Or something along
outdoors.
Those lines. Vote, an internal vote, got that one across the line.
That's right. It's for everyone now, not just our listeners. Anyone who wants
correct.
To learn.
Correct. So you don't have to be a podcast person. Even if you know camping friends that don't listen to the podcast, feel free to invite them to the group. It's just a place for camping banter.
We do moderate it. We only let you in if you're
cool.
Genuine and cool. No, anyone's invited.
Yeah.
Anyone's as long as you're not there to spam us and be annoying.
Yes. So today we're going to do a weird and wonderful gear part two because we did a weird and wonderful episode last year, I think early on last year, and a lot of the feedback from that was, oh my gosh, do another one. That was so fun.
Well, that was off an article that I wrote many, many years ago and I had a laugh writing it and then I could just had a laugh again when we talked about it on the show.
Yes.
And you've slapped together a list really quickly and literally thrown it at my desk.
It's actually,
check these out. This is what we're talking about in 10 minutes.
Well, it's actually the list has been maybe 2/3 completed for some months.
Oh, has it?
And I've just added a couple of extra to buff out the episode because obviously when people asked about roughly a year ago or whenever that episode was for more, I've just been keeping my eye out and like having a rolling word doc.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I've seen a few of these and some of them I didn't know. Some of them are quite unique. You kind of open up and you have a laugh and then you go, actually, that could be kind of handy.
I know. Anyway, kick it off.
Star Wars barbecue.
With our Star Wars fans, Star Wars barbecue.
I mean, this was pretty cool. They took was it the Odyssey? Is that what the barbecue
was
called?
Like,
the Odyssey.
Yeah.
And then they made it into a Star Wars version of this Odyssey. And it looked like my Star Wars friend's going to, I hope doesn't listen to
look
this.
Like
and
a,
be disappointed
like
in me.
A,
but there was a name of a certain Star Wars ship.
I think it was like does it look like a Death Star? Like
I
the dome of it is sort of like a Death Star or something?
It's a something fighter. Anyway.
It's black, right? It's like the...
Have you not looked at it? You wrote the list.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know anything about Star Wars. And we're going to have some people who are campers and Star Warsers, and they're going to be listening to this and
they just unsubscribed because you're
screaming at the radio.
Here we go. A symbol of the Imperial fleet, the TIE fighter.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Carried aboard Star Destroyers and Battle Stations. But it's just got a few... I mean, it largely looks just like the Odyssey did, except they've gone and added a Star Wars logo and this cool thing on the front. And it looks awesome. Look, Star Wars fans will get around this, definitely. It's pretty cool.
Yes. Yep.
And it also works pretty well. They're popular in Good Valley.
Yeah.
We're putting all the links to these in
our show notes, of course. So if you want to impress your friends with a Star Wars barbecue, you'll know where to go.
Yeah. This one you'd want to cover on, right? Just invite all your friends around and then you just like,
big reveal.
Check that out. You'd hope everyone
you come out with the sausages. Dun, 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 dun.
And then you just get people staring at you going, what is going on? And it's not the
surprise
introduction you wanted. Anyway, how do you even say the next one?
Well, I don't know.
Ye cup. Ye cup.
Mm-hmm. This was our old social media manager, Kyle. He was like, you need to look at this.
Let's say some of these things out loud and I start to laugh because when you say USB powered cup, it sounds ridiculous.
Because right? It is.
But I guess it's kind of cool, particularly for an urban environment. And I guess if you're probably more winter camping, but a cup that is powered, obviously has an inbuilt battery, you charge it up via USB and it warms or cools your drink.
Yep. It's like it essentially, actively heats your cup whilst your bevo's in it.
Yeah.
So it's not just working on insulation, it's also working on powered heating.
Yeah. We should mention that most of these aren't actually available at Snowy's. A lot of them are like Amazon and we've literally scoured the world for these things. So
we have.
don't go looking for it on our site. We'll put the links where you can find it down below.
Unless you really want it, comment, and we'll try and persuade our purchasing team.
It's going to be a tough one. Crack. So there's this USB powered cup. I think we should get them in. If enough people ask for it.
I can see the value of them if you lived somewhere more alpine. Or if you lived somewhere where the temperatures are consistently very, very cold and, you know, just having it in a standard thermos cup isn't going to do the trick.
Mm.
You need something that actively keeps it hot.
We have a laugh, but they're actually quite a nice polished looking product.
They do look, they're sort of, they are sort of obviously take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
As a brand, which is good.
A blub bottle. Have you just made that up or is that actually what they're called?
You know those bottles that you get water out and they go blub, blub, blub?
That's a
every time you get water.
Statement. The bottle that
the
you
big
goes,
things
blub, blub.
And like, you know, in the 90s the people would come and drop them off and pick up the empty ones.
Yeah, the ones you tip upside down in the water filter that it goes blub, blub.
I call them blub, blub bottles.
You call it. So it is your name.
But what are they called? Anyway.
Water dispenser bottles. So we're talking about the big blue, they look like a large flagon. And
this isn't a South Australian thing, is it?
Oh, look, it could be. Apologies to our interstate listeners if it is. But no, well,
if
I'm sure
you are interstate, tell me, please, if you know what a blub blub bottle is.
I'm pretty sure other states have got water dispensers.
And I'm pretty sure I've seen them in the Office American version as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the water cooler?
The big blue bottles, you tip it upside down, and then when you get the water out, the bubbles up and it goes blub, blub, blub. It's the meeting spot in all offices, right? Well, this was a. I only just saw this, a quick look, and it's a dispenser that you, so you leave the bottle upside down.
And you
so
just,
the spout
yeah,
puts up
it's
and you
just
put
like
the
this little miniature
top.
Table that just clicks over the top of the bottle with a little pump in it. And it's got like a tap and like some buttons and you just put your glass there and it just dispenses water for you. Mm. I mean, Dometic have got that water dispenser tap
it's
thing.
It's like that,
and
right? Yeah.
Sort of, it's like that, but
probably
this one's a bit more. I guess a bit more gimmicky, but it's sort of like an all-in-one. It's just you have your bottle of water and you just go donk and then it will dispense the water for you.
It's a platform to put the cup and everything on.
Yep, it's a platform to put your cup on. It's probably more suited to things like picnics, I would say.
Yeah, maybe. Then, or like a fancy permanent glamping type setup.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's an Amazon.
That is an Amazon product, thing. So, there's loads of different kinds of those as well.
Yeah.
I've got random multi-tools like shovels and axes and stuff because they're just everywhere nowadays. You know, you could buy an axe and it's like, oh, but it's also a wrench and a fishing rod and you know, a hammer and stuff like that. Mm. Or I saw an actual hammer that doubled as a pair of pliers.
All right.
So like you hold the hammer, but then the hammer handle splits open and there's, you know. And
it's just in this ever –
bits and bobs. And then hardcore do one, obviously. It's a shovel, which I did a product review for and I was like, this is the ultimate in zombie killing tools.
It's got a spear fishing attachment.
Spear fishing attachment. You can
and it's an axe and a shovel.
You
and
can chop a tree down.
It's a screwdriver's – I mean, it is kind of handy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like they seem so gimmicky, but then also people have them and they're like, yeah, it's handy.
Mm. There are some instances where they'll go and put like a little spanner thing in like a shovel blade or something like that, which I don't know how useful that actually is. It's like
what I want to know is in what situation are you going to be unscrewing a bolt or a nut that you require a hex head with, that you also have enough clearance to move a giant shovel head around. Because I don't know about you, but most of the things that I need, you know, sockets for, I also need an extender and like a little ratchet and, you know, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess it's probably one of those things you buy and it's pretty cool and you use 20% of the actual available tools on it.
Yeah.
But isn't that the case with most multi-tools?
You
use one or two tools probably 80, 90% of the time.
Correct.
And the others are there for the odd occasion that you might need it. Hence the multi-tool thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. This next one was kind of funny and I had images of like just hiking along with it sticking out the top of your pack and generating power as you go. But this is a portable wind turbine, which
the
very core of it I think
it's
an
a
awesome
cool
idea.
Because
we use solar, right?
Yeah.
To generate power when we're hiking or out camping. This is a portable wind generator that generates electricity.
Yeah.
It's a the pictures I saw, I only had a quick look, but I had it just anchored down on the ground. But I wondered if you could stick it in your pack and just walk around with this, this like, helicopter head above you, just powering.
Like a clown.
You wouldn't want to put your hand up, would you? You'd cut your fingers off.
No, you
but
wouldn't.
But it's pretty cool.
But it is a cool idea. And I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of people camp throughout the year, not heaps of sun, it's overcast or, you know, but it's pretty windy. Often it's pretty windy in winter.
Yep.
It's not very sunny in winter.
If you're coastal hiking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, or even if you're camping, you know, like I don't know what the specs are because I forgot to look that up because I added this to the list ages ago. But depending on how much power they generate.
Yeah, I didn't
maybe you
at
could
that.
Just have a couple set up because they're not much bigger packed away than a 2 liter Coke bottle. Or yeah, like I one mean, of those giant 2 liter soft drink bottles.
It is bulkier than a little solar panel or something, but I don't know
of
what
course
the output's
it is.
Like.
But if you're camping and it has a good output, maybe it would replace 120 watt solar panels. You never know if you have a couple of them.
If you're hiking and there's no wind, you just have to walk really fast and you still generate electricity.
Yeah.
And it makes you get there quicker.
Yeah.
It's like
I think it's worth looking. You never know. Worth looking at. Can somebody please out there buy them and then give us
tell us what they're
feedback
about? Or Shine Turbine, the people who invented it.
Yeah.
Get in touch and let us know. Climbing the dark rope.
Yeah, I mean.
Pretty handy.
It's pretty handy. Last episode we talked about LED tent stakes, like tent stakes that have LED lights built into them.
Last weird and wonderful thing.
Yeah, the last weird and wonderful episode or whatever.
Well, most
but glow-in-the-dark rope, it depends though because sometimes you get it and it doesn't really work.
Well, it might glow for the first few hours of the night and then when you really need it late in the night.
Yeah, so I think it's like if you're going to get some, just make sure you're getting good stuff.
Yep.
Like proper stuff maybe that doesn't just have glow-in-the-dark stuff woven into it but like the whole rope is glow-in-the-dark.
What makes it glow-in-the-dark? Didn't prepare for that, did you?
We radioactivity. Don't know that. I have literally no idea.
It makes me think of have you watched
do you know what it makes
Moana,
me think
the
of?
The movie Moana and the crab on the bottom of the ocean that picks up the little
I was thinking
covered in phosphorescent.
More about the Simpsons
algae.
And Springfield nuclear plant and the three-eyed fish.
Righto.
So that's what I think of
so
when I think
what we're
of
saying
how
now is maybe don't use glow in the dark rope because
glows in the dark.
No, but it could be handy. The other alternative, I suppose, is most good ropes. I reckon Austents is not Austent. I'm trying to think.
Are you talking about having a reflector thread?
It's
in
got
it?
A little reflector thread,
but you need light.
If you've got light, but they're really clear. If you've got light, yep.
What would be good is glow in dark rope with reflective thread
double up
woven through.
Yeah, cool. Get onto it. Start making it. Tree tents.
These are cool. Okay, so these are the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. This is weird and wonderful. So this is wonderful in my opinion. This isn't a weird. This is a wonderful.
Suspended tents. It does require you to have significantly sturdy anchors in the right locations to be able to set it up.
But they're so cool. You can get one up to six people in size. Yep. They're just like these giant triangles. You can get sort of hammock versions as well or proper tent versions and they just stretch out and they anchor to your trees and you can be like 10 meters off the ground if you want and you have a giant ladder or they can be 1 meter off the ground or you probably want a bit more than 1 meter by the time six people get on there because you'd all be on the ground anyway. But they're just so cool.
I reckon they got specific use cases, but definitely worth checking them out. And I guess you need to consider damaging trees and stuff, how you set it up as well, just as you've got a slack line.
I would say they're super popular in America because America obviously are a lot more like wooded, you know, like their bush is foresty, it's more wooded. Most of their trees are tall and straight and, you know, don't have crazy gum trees.
We struggle to find three straight trees in a
like imagine trying to find three radius. Straight trees. Yep. In a 5+ meter radius that has a nice big clearing there. But still I don't care. They're cool.
Yeah, check them out. Tentsoul.com. This Rain Man Camp Shower, that's the pump I had a quick look, but that's the pump up one, isn't it? So we have had a version of that at Snowy's. I reckon Companion did one for a while. And this looks like it's the same people who make
Thunderbox.
The Thunderbox.
Yep, Jimmy's Thunderbox.
So it comes in a cool container, but it's a
it's cool.
It's a bit like one of those, you know, those weed sprayer things that you've got at home. You pump it up and then you spray the weeds. It's basically what it is. You fill it with hot water.
It's stainless steel, so you can fill it up with hot water, or you can just chuck it next to your campfire.
So and you it heat just it up heats in there, up. And then you pressurize it with a pump on top mm-hmm. And you've the got, hose comes out the top.
Yeah, but it's also got like a tall stand
yep.
with a shower head on it. So you're literally standing under a shower stand or you can yep. use a hose and it's pumped up and pressurized. I just love that idea. It's so cool of just being able to put it in the fire yep. and out. And it's like we use, obviously, as everybody would know who listens to this or has listened to this show for a long time, we're a campfire family
yeah.
and we have one of those Cecil and Co. hot water
yeah.
things. Changes your life to just have hot water all there the whenever you want it all the time. Same sort of thing with the shower. I yeah. can imagine it would just change your life. You just fill it up and sit it there. It's ready to go.
Doubles as a beer keg when you.
I don't know if I
would. I don't guarantee that.
One, two. Well, I guess you're not recycling the water you're showering with, so it would just be clean. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe. Imagine standing under a shower of beer. No, thank you.
That's a waste of beer. No, don't use it as a beer keg. That was just silly. Mystical Fire. I'm sure we must have mentioned this previously, but it's a
we've mentioned it on the podcast
magnesium
before. But
powder or something that my wife gets excited because she used to work in sort of like the explosive type realms in science. She looks and she knows what chemicals burning to create whatever color.
Your wife used to work in the explosive type realms of science.
Well, yeah,
that's like the coolest sentence ever.
How things burn and that sort of thing. It's kind of her background,
cool.
I suppose.
Karen sounds
and
cool.
She's also in environments and she's done a lot of different science stuff. But she knows a little bit from the studies she's done about what chemicals burn at what color. So she looks at stuff yeah. and goes, that's orange, it's this burning. Like when she watches fireworks, right? It's a complete science lesson. We can't just watch the fireworks in peace because
yeah.
she explains.
Can't we just enjoy it?
That was doing this and that's doing this and they must have done this with that one. You're like, okay, I just want to watch the pretty colors. but this yes. is just a little packet of probably not good for the environment, little packet of magnesium in a plastic pouch that you throw in the fire mm-hmm. and then it burns and turns your fire into a rainbow. I've never seen the fire turn into quite the rainbow that's on the picture on the front of the packet.
Same.
But it's cool. There's
it's
big
cool.
packets
bit
of
bit of differentiation.
Now we have it we still got that? Yes, we have got that at the Snowy. Is yeah. that the big pack? Because there was
yeah,
a small
we
one.
There is a big pack and a small pack. You can okay. get like a bonfire version and a campfire version.
So if you use the bonfire version on a small fire, you probably get
maybe
better rainbow.
Maybe. Do you just throw the whole packet on or do you just rip it and shake it? Like do you just rip the end off and shimmy it over the fire? Or
I
do
thought
you, just
you threw the whole packet
the
on.
Plastic pack on.
I thought you threw a whole packet on. Hmm. Maybe. Could have read the instructions before the show.
okay. Moving on. Inflatable lanterns.
Disco lights.
And disco lights. So
we've got disco lights.
Yeah, we do. So should have been familiar
like
with Snowy's range lights. Before we come in the show. Yes,
you,
we
you
do.
You just called it disco lights.
Yeah, because we have them.
If I search for disco lights on our website, is anything going to come up?
So inflatable lanterns.
Just going to let them go.
Are cool.
They're cool. They're really popular.
They are Lucci. So popular. They come across as a bit of a gimmick, but they're not. They're cool. And they pack pretty flat and there can be solar rechargeable ones. Yep. You can get them multicolored. You can get them super clear, like white light. You can get them warm lights. But they're just
flickering.
Cool. And because they blow up, they do sort of diffuse light really nicely. But anyway, you can get them. You can get a version that does a whole range of different colors as well as, you know, your cool warm white or whatever.
Yep.
But then BioLight. Do a light or a lantern called Alpenglow.
Oh,
and it
yes.
comes in a bigger and a smaller one. And if you shake it, it goes disco.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Well, how disco? Just like?
Like just flashing different color lights and like.
With the beat of the music?
I don't think so, Ben.
Because that's what I'm all about.
But it's just imagine having this nifty little lantern and you just like shake, shake and it's instant disco. It has the Alpenglow to have gradients and all sorts. So cool.
I can't count the amount of times I've been camping and thought, if only I had a disco light.
Yes, you can because you're boring.
Because it's zero. Right, okay. So that just reiterates my answer of zero then, doesn't it?
Yes, because if you aren't keen on fairy lights, then of course you're not going to be keen on these disco lights. But they're just fun. And especially if you've got kids or even if you don't have kids and you're just a fun person. They're cool to have.
You know when I did my big half
yeah.
trip don't tell anyone, but we had Christmas fairy lights, battery operated Christmas fairy lights in the tent for Christmas because we stopped off because we were traveling over Christmas, right?
You've done this trip like more than a year ago and have maintained this thing the whole time that fairy lights suck, and now you're just like, actually, we used them.
That's why I'm trusting you're not going to tell anyone.
And I'm just admitting this now.
Anyway. Moving on.
You know you're going to come into work tomorrow and your desk is going to be covered in fairy lights.
Moving on, I got a shout out for something we saw in the Facebook group recently from Sam Morgan, who shared something and tagged you in it, which was headlights for Crocs that I've said, oh, they're horrible. I'm going to get Lauren a pair.
Yeah, I saw that.
I just got to find orange ones, right? But these are like more technical versions of those.
Seriously,
which is
shoe torches. And I wasn't just talking about the Crocs. Like, you can get legitimate LED proper torches, like headlamp quality torches for your shoes.
I don't understand how that would work because your feet are moving, right? It'd be like you've got a fraction of a second to see what's in front of you before your foot's
back behind. Well, because it's a high quality light. So it obviously throws more light than just, you know, like half a ruler in front of you or whatever. But they're designed for trail running and they're legit.
I'd love to know.
And people actually have them strapped across. They're like, they go across the top part of your shoe near where your tongue and the top hole of your laces are, and they're like a little light bar. Yeah. And they're like proper little LED light bar. They throw out decent light.
I'd love to know if anyone's used them, and it's hard to tell how useful they'd be. I feel like they'd be something you'd run in and go, my feet are moving too much and it doesn't make any difference. Or is there actually enough light that comes out of them to say it makes a huge amount of difference as to where I'm putting my feet?
Well, you know, when you come across a product and then you Google that product and then that product has a legitimate professional looking website that has good marketing and a lot of imaging and decent specifications.
And you go, oh, there's something in this.
Oh, that's an actual decent product. Yeah. That's what those shoe lights are.
Okay. All right. I had a quick look.
So, you know, sometimes if you're trail running or you're out and about, you know, what you're really lighting up is a couple of meters in front of you. If you're someone who's actually actively running, maybe that's not what you want. You want something that's not necessarily so far away.
Or if you've got Crocs, then just get some green Crocs and some of these lights for your Crocs and call your feet frogs.
Frog feet, yeah.
They're pretty cool. So in our Facebook group, check it out.
Shoe lights.
Thanks, I think they're going to be
the next best thing.
You reckon? That's your call? Everyone's going to have shoe lights.
I think so.
Yeah, right.
And in the same vein of feet, waterproof socks.
Bridgedale
do them.
Yeah, there used to be. I don't know if Bridgedale kind of brought out the. I can't think of the name of the brand that was around a long time ago.
Was it like Storm socks or something like that?
I have a feeling Bridgedale may have bought them out. Have you actually had a look at the waterproof socks and felt them?
I have.
They feel like they'd be quite hot and sweaty. So I think they have, I wouldn't go hiking in a wet and humid environment and expect to be more comfortable than just a pair of wet socks.
I've always been super skeptical and I was like, why would you wear them? Why wouldn't you just wrap your feet in a plastic bag and go for a walk? But I've actually seen a couple of reviews on them on YouTube of people who were like, these are actually pretty fantastic.
Mm. I think cold, wet environments is probably good.
Yeah. Mind you, a lot of, you know, two of the reviews were from
Europe,
Scotland.
Yeah.
You know, as an example.
Yeah.
I've always wondered whether or not they're actually that interesting because obviously when you have a waterproof shoe like Gore-Tex or whatever, that's designed to be breathable as well as being waterproof, so water's not getting in. But if your feet are hot and sweaty, they can still, you know, perspire a little bit.
So, yes, because the membrane, and it'd be the same with the socks, the membrane doesn't breathe as quick as not having the membrane there at all.
Mm.
So if you sweat a lot, it can't breathe as quick as you sweat, so your feet get wet from sweat. So there's this kind of balance with if you're in a hot, wet environment, you're sweating, you're probably still going to be just as wet as if you didn't have waterproof socks or shoes.
I think potentially the value of them would be, one, if you are hiking or trail running in a shoe that isn't waterproof and you just need a waterproof option for a small portion of the year when it's raining or a small number of your runs, or if you're someone like you say who's trekking or hiking, doing a multi-day hike in a really wet, sodden environment where it doesn't matter what you do, your socks aren't going to get dry, your boots aren't going to get dry, everything's waterlogged. Yep. You just want to have a pair of waterproof socks so your feet don't go manky.
You're still going to sweat. I'll be really interested to hear others' feedback who have used them and what they sort of, I guess, the ideal environments, because it's not as simple as I put waterproof socks on and my feet stay dry.
Yeah, so many other considerations.
But the next one was SUV tents. And we were talking to a brand earlier today who suggested they might be having something similar come out, but I don't think we'll say who it was or what it was. It's just one of those things that like, we're like, can we, we'll keep you hanging on that one.
Yeah.
But
like Dometic do one, it's called a tailgater.
Yeah, this style of tent that attaches to a car or an SUV. So is this the one you list?
My thing with these tents is that I feel like for a couple of years now, they have just been this random product that you could get on Amazon or AliExpress or something, just, you know, this cheap crappy no name Chinese option thing that variety of different options out there.
Kind of a half baked one size fits all attachment like nobody to your really car
and- sort of thing. But I feel like increasingly people are like, do you sell SUV tents? And it's like, oh, so what started as potentially just a bit of a crappy idea, people are like, actually, that's a really good idea. Mm. And so now brands are starting to think about whether or not they can produce something like that that's going to be legitimate and of high quality and taken seriously. So Dometic is probably one of the first authentic brands or like proper brands that I have brand knowledge and trust in that have made a tent like that.
Zempire did one a while ago called a roadie.
They did a roadie that was more to go on the side of a van.
Yeah.
Because a mate's got one on the side of his Volkswagen van.
You could adapt it.
But it wasn't sort of built straight. It wasn't just like a straightforward thing. It's attached with a sail track and that sort of jazz.
I think there's something in it. There's quite a few people in the Facebook group who camp out of their cars. So this is just an extension of that, right? You're creating an outdoor area for your car. So you're not a separate thing. It's all attached.
Yeah, and not everybody wants a giant big four-wheel drive.
Mm.
You know, some people just need it, have a daily driver or have a small wagon or even potentially a sedan. You could probably find a way to make those tailgater type situations work for you.
Yep.
And on the back of that, motorcycle tents.
Yeah, so they're basically just a hike tent, except they've got a massively high door on one side that you can park your motorcycle in. And, it's, and like it's the same for
cycle tents as well. You and your motorcycle can have a sleep together.
But bicycle tents as well. Exped do a heap like that. Maybe Vaude
do a couple.
Do a few. Exped used to. I haven't looked recently, but I know they used to. But
I don't know about you, but if you know anybody who has a motorbike and loves their motorbike, they would have their motorbike.
Yeah, under shelter. It's like a garage. No, like
they would have their motorbike in their bedroom if they could. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people who love motorbikes.
What about Chris? Chris, our developer, when he starts his bike up, which is in front of our office here, we all sit up the top shaking like this because the whole building's vibrating when he takes off.
He'd probably sleep with this motorbike if he could.
It's always clean.
Well, I have an uncle called Chris, and I remember one time going to his house and walking in the kitchen and his Harley was just in the kitchen, in pieces because he was just working on it in the kitchen.
Well, this allows those motorbike lovers that don't have the dirty, beat up old, trail bike that gets dusty. This is a polished bike. You can now go camping.
Sleep with it in your tent.
Park it in the garage at night, even when you're camping.
I mean, obviously not to, take the piss out of motorcycle owners and stuff because they're valid, It's like obviously a safety thing. It keeps your bike out of prying eyes of passers-by. Like there's a whole bunch of valid reasons in there. We were having a bit of a laugh about
I'm not a motorbike
getting
owner,
asleep so with your motorbike. So
I don't have the same passion, but I can understand why you'd want to keep it clean. If it's raining too, I suppose, keep everything dry. You can probably leave stuff packed on the bike or panniers open, I suppose, and hiking trailer was the next one. Trekker's friend. We laugh again, but then you stop and think and you go, well, you know what? If I could get all that off my back.
I don't know.
This is basically just a simple frame with a couple of wheels in it. And I didn't look at detail on the attachment for the waist, but it looks like it's been somewhat considered.
I'm still laughing. I'm still laughing. And there's part of me. I'm sure
the people at Trekker's friend wouldn't be laughing.
I know. There's part of me that's like, this is a serious product and people use this seriously. But that doesn't stop me from laughing because I'm like, okay, I want to go hiking. You know, here's my pack of gear, but it's too heavy for me and I don't really want to carry my rucksack. So instead, I'm just going to load up a little miniature trailer and just strap it to my body and then walk through the countryside dragging this trailer behind me.
Do you know, we have a laugh about it. And
I'm just imagining every step you take, the trailer just goes like this as you're walking along. And I'm
you go too fast and it starts fishtailing. And,
I can't. Yeah, exactly.
You load it up right.
And part of me is just like, if your hiking pack's too heavy, just invest in some ultralight gear.
Yeah.
Like, Why strap a trailer to yourself?
Then take a pump and a puncture kit and some spare wheel bearings? I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be silly. But, you know, no, as silly as that sounds.
Seriously, though.
So I remember when I was working in another shop in the Northern Territory, we helped a guy who was crossing, doing a east-west crossing of the Simpson.
Okay.
And heaps of people do that, but he carted a trailer across the sand, a bigger trailer than these things. So – gets it off the back.
He physically, with his body, carted a trailer or was he on a bike? Like a push bike? Oh,
that's a good question, actually. I can't remember now.
Okay.
No, it would have been walking.
Okay.
Because you struggle to ride a bike right across the Sims. I can't remember now that you say that, but I'm sure people have walked it as well and towed a trailer.
Okay.
I can't remember his name.
Okay.
But check it out. But there are versions of that. But this is a really simple version to just basically strap you. It just looks like a lean-to frame with two big wheels and some sort of harness system. Anyway,
moving on. I'm so excited.
I was so
because squat if strap. You've listened to the first episode, you would have heard about the squat strap.
Yeah.
Right. And when we talked about it, you were so devastated because looked like the company had actually folded, like they weren't actively in business anymore. They weren't selling them or whatever. Until I came across the crap strap. Which,
it's funny. This is from
which is like
an upgrade.
Not only is it a belt to help you take a crap without falling over, it also has like a lumbar support with pockets for you to put wipes and like toilet paper and hand sanitizer. And it's just all in one location. So you can just do a hands-free squat, no concerns about balance. And just access whatever you need to finish your business.
If you like to take your phone and turn it into a long session, then you've got this is much more comfortable.
You've got
the squats, but they didn't have the same advertising as the squat strap.
They didn't know. These guys obviously take themselves seriously.
The guy's name, but they did a diagram of how to use it. But this is just they've looked at squat strap and learnt maybe on. Which was just a strap with some clips.
Let's be honest. Some
crazy marketing. These guys have taken a step up. I do find it funny that the website that it's available from is Air Boss Motion Decoys. Totally random. Someone who makes like air compressors or something went, let's make
a crab strap. let's take the squat strap and make it even better.
It's spelled with a K. So
K-R-A-P, so we're not swearing. Double P, yeah. Yep.
Now, this next one I actually thought was really cool, a trailer hitch lock box. And my immediate thought, because I like to think I'm a surfer, but I don't get out much, but perfect for surfers. So it goes in there. What you take the hitch out of your hitch. Take the tow ball out of your trailer hitch and you're just left with the bit that it goes into.
Yeah.
This goes in there and it's a little combination lock so you can put your keys in it.
Turns that whole hitch section into a little. I mean, and camping safety and security and stuff comes up a fair bit. You know, with people being like, how can I be more safer if I'm not at campsite and stop stuff from getting flogged and –
I have always thought if you do that, you are saying there's something valuable locked in here. But it is going to mean they're going to have to look pull out at an angle grinder or something to cut an entire trailer hitch off to get to it.
But a lot of people also don't – like how many times have you actively looked at someone's tow hitch when you're just walking down the esplanade?
Yeah.
Like never.
I reckon this actually had a little –
at a campsite or something. You know, it's not like
– yeah, good point.
Yeah.
I think it had a plastic cap to go over the front as well, now that I think of it, when I looked at it. So
it's not a super obvious.
It's a good idea because mine just sits, I don't leave the tow hitch in there because it gets jammed up. I take it out when I'm not using it. So it's just a little empty void that doesn't just collects dust. So it's a great idea. And this one I had a laugh at. This is the one that I laughed at and then went, actually.
Did you actually go, actually?
I'd never use it, but I could see how a lot of people would. A wearable umbrella, which is it immediately I thought it just looked like one of those accessories you get for a child carrier, right, that turns what's already a really high pack
into an even higher pack
because you put like the sun umbrella or whatever it is over the top so the kid's completely contained and doesn't get any UV light. This is basically one of those but for adults. And it's got some harness system that you strap onto your backpack or something and this whole kind of it looks like it's retractable kind of thing.
I think you strap it onto your body, not your pack per se, but the way that it straps onto your body allows you to put a backpack on as well if you need to. But it is essentially like a giant
canopy.
Like a Slater bug. Do you know what I mean? It sort of like goes dunk, 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 and it opens up and it,
I do wonder.
You could ride your bike. You could go like if no, like, but no, but imagine
just mountain biking with that on.
Well, that's just what
get ripped off your bike.
No, but that's part of their marketing. Like, imagine if you're a bike packer and you know you're on a big bike trip and it just starts raining and you're just getting saturated and you've got your Gore-Tex jacket and whatever.
Oh, it's for rain, is it?
Yeah,
not sun.
No, it's for rain and sun. It's for rain and
is it that big?
Benji, it's huge.
I mean, I do wonder in terms of sun.
It'd be like maybe 70 centimeters across.
Is that right?
I would say minimum. And it's huge and it just sort of like a Slater unrolling down over the front of you and over the top of you and you could just, no matter where you go in life, you'd just be dry, permanently dry.
Yeah, it is quite.
So you could like ride your bike. You know, if you – I can just see.
I don't reckon you could wear it with a backpack because it's got this big kind of panel that goes down the back.
I reckon you could wear it with a backpack.
It's from Amazon, so it's one of those.
But it isn't. It's like seems a legitimate brand. Again, it's called a
Nubrella. I do wonder in terms of sun what that does that a hat couldn't do in a far simpler
design.
Well, it's huge
unless you have a gigantic sombrero.
I wonder if you can angle. What if it's low sun, can you like lower it down so it's just like it's only really good if it's middle of the day sun, right?
I don't know.
Anyway.
I reckon if I was a bike packer, that might be a nifty addition.
I'm just gonna note that down for
if you were a bike packer, can you please have a look at a Nubrella and tell me whether or not you think that that is a legitimate
product?
Just speed
up down a hill and you've basically got this parachute above your head.
You're right. Anyway. You know what? See how it comes. I'm just showing for everyone listening. I'm just showing Benji.
It's massive. It's wider than my shoulders. You can pull it down to the front
of your body if you want. So you could be in a waterproof bubble.
It's like an enormous space person helmet.
Yep.
It folds back.
Did you just politically correct spaceman?
I politically corrected myself. Not,
but
live,
anyway,
but we won't
look at
that because that's not what we do.
Nubrella, let us know: is it hot or not? Because I think we're out. We're debating that one.
I think there'd be. Like, I could see. I don't know. Like, I don't. No, I won't go down that path.
Okay.
I'm gonna stereotype people.
Move on.
Survival card. This is one of those cool things, I suppose. That if someone gave it to you, you go, it's pretty cool, and you might never use it, but kind of cool because it's a flat card. It basically looks like when you put plastic models together and you punch all the bits out and construct it.
Yep.
It's basically like that, except you're punching out fish hooks and
little like miniature saws and yeah.
So they're like flat somewhere.
They're like the size of a playing card, which is why they're called survival cards.
Yeah.
And you can get multiple different kinds of them and they take up barely any room, but they're a bunch of different tools. And I mean, obviously once you punch them out, and you use them, they don't go back in that card. Like you have to find somewhere
to
put them.
It's literally a survival thing.
But it's literally a survival thing and something that you might have, say, in your go bag or stashed in your car somewhere. If you break down and you're in the middle of nowhere and you might need to go to the water hole and catch a fish.
But you're not going to be holding it a mile away on one of those hooks, and you probably also need to consider what you're going to tie the hook to.
But they're just cool. I don't know. They're cool. Look at them. Take a look.
Now that you're nicey, I'm gonna. I feel like I looked at this and I didn't get it, and maybe it's because I'm a male, and it looks to me like it was a female oriented. So I'll hand over to you. Am I going to get in trouble for saying that?
No, you're not. It's basically a wearable sleeping bag liner. We were talking about last episode. We talked about silk bags, which are wearable sleeping bags. It's Unity. It's a wearable sleeping bag liner. So it's got a hood as well and like a zip up, sort of like like a turtleneck with a hood and it's long sleeve, but then it drops all the way to the ground. And when you get in your sleeping bag, you can join it up. It's like a giant big sack, but it's made out of lighter nighty material. Okay. So the only real benefit that I can see in that is the fact that it is a wearable sleeping bag liner in the sense that you can put it on, you can get in and out of your sleeping bag, keeps your sleeping bag relatively protected. It's not going to get bunched up, but it's something that you can wear. You know, you could put on under your jacket or something when you're sitting around camp when the weather starts to, you know, in place of a thermals.
So I guess I think I read too that it's got magnetic things inside so you can kind of clip it up.
You can pull it up. And I mean, it's to look at, it's hilarious. And when you have a look at the website and you click through all the models, it's being modeled by men and women and, they're having a really good time and you're looking at it and you're like, are these people just getting paid for this modeling job or are they people who are just really invested in this product and think it's amazing and take themselves seriously? And I think it's the latter. And so I don't know if I would personally wear one or get one, but I think it's maybe like a Canadian brand even. So I'm wondering if maybe there's more validity there for people who are in a lot more colder environments and maybe the transition from being in your sleeping bag to being at the campsite is a bit more shocking, and so having something like that is more beneficial.
Because it retains the warmth. You could put that on before you go to bed. You're warming up the liner, then you crawl into the sleeping bag.
Yeah.
So you're retaining warmth, I suppose. So
yeah.
It looked like the lady who invented it, I don't know what her name was, but she talked about why she invented it. So there's obviously some rationale behind it. It's just the first time I've seen it, and I looked and I thought, I don't understand yet, but maybe that you're right. Maybe
don't forget that nighties and nightshirts were like bros' sleep item of choice in the ye old days.
Bros.
All the dudes were wearing gigantic sleep nighties. It's just what you wore.
And knickerbockers.
It's like a business shirt that touches the ground. That's basically what men used to sleep in.
Righto.
So nighties are actually a dude thing.
Really? I love the way you just
true. So don't worry. The U-90 is also for you.
All right. You won't catch me wearing one anytime.
Okay.
Soon. But I can see my wife might like it. She doesn't have to get out of
the
warm to go anywhere. Then she'll wear anything. No matter how it looks.
So this is cool, and I don't know. Weird. I want to make you try this.
I was going to say I want to buy a heap for you just to clip all over yourself when you're hiking and camping, like, just walk around with your dragonfly friends on your shoulders to keep horseflies away.
They're literally a realistic model of a dragonfly to scale on like a fine wire that clips onto your hat, which – bear with me, sounds crazy, but apparently because dragonflies are like the natural predator of horseflies and greenflies and a bunch of stuff like that, apparently having the dragonfly stops them from being around because they're like, you're going to get eaten by a dragonfly. Like, let's get out of here.
Really?
So it's like it acts like a deterrent. Maybe, you know, the same thing as having giant damn it, punchline's gone because I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah, it's lost it.
You
now.
Know, zip ties, like giant zip ties on your helmet for magpies. They're like, you're not going to come and swoop on that person.
Yeah, right.
Maybe the same thing with the dragonfly. It's like, ooh, I'm not going to bite that person. And I took a bit of an interest because on my last trip to KI, holy guacamole, Batman, couldn't be on a beach without being absolutely annihilated by stupid-ass horseflies.
So you're just going to wear these things?
So I'm just wondering.
Swimming at the beach with.
I wonder if they're actually legit and if it really does work, because apparently there's a lot of information out there to say that they do work.
Okay.
Okay.
interested in feedback. It's an Amazon product again. We don't have one. Can't talk from experience. But if anyone's used the Dragonfly Wingman Deer Horse Repellent, let us know. Coglin's full body mesh.
This is
bug suit. Kind of enough said, really.
It's like imagine a fly net for your hat, but for your entire body.
But did you look at the picture on the website? There's just people strolling, a couple just wandering down for a hike with a full mesh suit on.
Because I don't know about you, but if I'm walking along a hiking trail and then this couple comes around the corner wearing that. I know what I'm thinking.
I'm wondering what I'm walking into. What have you just come out of that I don't know about? Is there some like crazy mosquito city over there?
What I don't get, okay, is that I understand if you're wearing a fly net on your hat, you've got your brim and the fly net is mostly sitting away from your face.
Yeah.
If you're wearing a mesh suit –
and it's against your skin.
So it's just against your skin.
Mosquito's going to go.
The mosquito's just going to sit on the flesh.
Through the hole. Thanks. Yes. He's giving him something better to hold on to before they bite. Let's hold on to this mesh and I could really get in there then.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is descended into chaos.
I'm losing control. But seriously, I can't see how a mesh bug suit would protect you from bugs. Do yourself a favor. Go to the show notes, click on the website, and look at the photo.
As always with these things, I feel like we go in and we're just going to play this out and have a good laugh, and then I stop and think, what if our listeners actually use it? They're sitting there going,
"If you wear,
I actually use it all the time.
If you wear a mesh,
sorry,
full body bug suit." Seriously, I respect you so much. It's please don't take it personally. Mm. If that's something that you use and get a lot of benefit out of, this is literally just being prompted by the photo. That's really all this comes down to. And if it's something that you do use and it works for you, I think that's amazing.
Vortex Blender. I reckon I mentioned this. Did we mention this in the last episode?
This is very cool.
It's, and I think we did mention it in the last episode.
I don't think it was mentioned in the last episode, but we have mentioned it before.
It's the one where you clamp to the side of a table and then you've just got a handle that you wind and you've got a blender camping.
And it's a pretty decent blender and it's pretty functional. Like the mechanisms and it's GSI. So this isn't an Amazon product. This is like a legitimate outdoor product and GSI are brilliant. It's the mechanisms that they've used, it's very functional.
It's been around
very
for a
efficient.
Long time.
It's been around for a long
so it
time.
Obviously works.
If you want some margarita slushies on camp, then this is for you.
Your protein shakes.
Protein shakes in the morning. If you have an acai bowl, anything that you might need a blender for, these are cool. And they're relatively compact, as a blender could be.
Well, there's probably a lot of benefits to the space for, like you take the blender, but then the ingredients you'd need for that would be very packable, right? Because you're talking about yogurts and milk, I suppose, in the fridge, but then you could use veggies, fruit, frozen berries and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
so,
if you cut up bananas and you freeze them cut up, they double as ice cubes.
Yep. And it's really easy to prep and wash up because you're just putting the stuff straight in. You've got your blender in a cup and you know, whatever you put in there, you get all the nutrients out of it still. So if that's how you kind of operate at home, you can apply that to camping.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last one, Eco Lucky Camping Lark. Dishwasher. This is pretty cool. I had to look at it for a little bit to work out how it works. I think it's still
a concept. It's not necessarily a legitimate thing that you could go out and buy at the shops.
My initial thought was we've taken four cups and four pieces of cutlery and turned it into a very bulky thing in order to be able to wash them.
Yes. So I think.
But it's a cool concept.
For people listening and potentially not watching this on YouTube, think about those hose roller things that you have for your garden hose. That's sort of like, you know, film cassette shaped, like round cylindrical shape. On the outside, you got a handle that spins. Ultimately, it's like a plate and cutlery and cup set that packs in neatly into like a drum thingy like that, that you can put water and dish soap in and shut a little hatch, and then you just crank the handle and it spins everything around and dishwashes it for you. And then you can just open up the hatch and tip the water out and drain it off and let them dry. And I guess you're right, it's big and it's bulky and it's chunky and it's a little bit like, what? But at the same time, I can appreciate how you would use probably a lot less water and you wouldn't make as much mess maybe, or you know, like I can see.
You're limited to four. So it's got four plates and then a knife and a fork for four people.
Yeah.
So if you're also washing.
I mean, there obviously is limitations to it, but the idea, the premise of it or the idea is kind of nifty. I definitely wouldn't buy one, but I can see why somebody might want one.
I think so. Designer is David Stockton. So I think this is the sort of thing that a lot of the cool stuff that we see nowadays started as an idea like this, right? And someone had enough, you know, motivation to get up and do something with it. And as with anything, you get criticism. Some people love it. A lot of people criticize it, but they're also the people who aren't standing up to do anything about it.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a cool idea. I don't think it's not something I'd invest in. I look at it, I think it's cool, but I go, but it's not, I can get away with just hand washing.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll evolve into something.
And also when you're not washing the dishes, that's where your plates and your cutlery and stuff are stored.
Storage, yeah.
You know, you carry that all around. It doubles as a dishwasher. I can see the appeal to certain groups or certain kind of campers or families or whatever.
If it was just, say, for two people, then you've got plates and cups, plates and bowls, plates and cutlery.
Yes.
The two lots of meals for a day. So, yeah, pretty cool. Check it out. Yankodesign.com.
That is it for our Weird and Wonderful Part 2.
That was cool.
That was pretty funny. We got a little bit out of control
We said 25 minutes.
And now it's
we're at 50.
50 and that's insane.
Yep.
Good luck next time.
Let us know if you've got one day we'll keep it short.
One day we'll keep it short.
Check them out. We can put the links in these show notes. If you've got any other cool gear, let us know. Maybe there'll be episode 3.
Never know. One day. Catch you next week.
See you guys.